CG's back.
Chibi Goku?
Yes.
It's found it. Oh no.
Zionic Freak.
What's up, guys?
Myself, John Jones, and Cloud.
And Vimon Josh.
Oh yeah. Him too.
Yes.
Has Cloud ever been on this podcast before?
I don't think so. We've had him on Skype a few times, but I don't think we're recording. So, I guess we're going to start out with Hunger Games, right? And spoil it totally.
Yeah. I actually had a kind of a list of stuff regarding we can talk about, like, but that's like small things. But let's get Hunger Games out of the way, because that movie is actually not that bad, but it's the story that I think is pretty terrible. But that's just, you know, my naysay about it. But yeah, John, what did you think about the movie?
I thought it was pretty well made. I liked it. A lot of the scenes, like when the girl had the knife to Katniss, and then the black guy showed up and rammed her head against the wall. I thought that was really unexpected. And then they had those CGI, like, boars or whatever they were that were at the end, and they ate that guy or whatever. It was pretty brutal, but they didn't show that much blood or anything.
Yeah, this was like a PG-13 rated movie, so regarding the violence, they didn't show too much, and everything was like off camera. I guess my biggest thing was, like, because when my brother was telling me about this movie when it came out, and it sounded like Hunger Games the way I saw it on TV. I mean, not Hunger Games, but it sounded a lot like Battle Royale. And I was just like, well, I know it's not going to be Battle Royale, but, I mean, it can't be that bad. So then, like, I went and saw the movie, and honestly, it started out pretty good. And during the movie, I'm like, all right, that dude, everyone's going to die, or, you know, the girl has to live. And then apparently it didn't happen, and it ended on a cliffhanger. My brother and I were like, what the heck? And so then I had to actually go home and research the series a little bit. And it turns out, like, I read the summary on Wikipedia in all three of the books. And it's not that the movie was bad. I just think the story's not that great. And the movie actually did a really good job interpreting the book, everything that happened. But me seeing this without knowing anything about the books, I thought it was really crappy. And I'm like, well, you know, if I was expecting it to be Battle Royale, then I would have expected the main girl, when they had the ceremony, to go up to Donald Sutherland and, like, stab him in the face or shoot him, like, repetitively in front of everyone to take down the system. Because I was like, all right, that's going to happen. I'm expecting it to happen, and none of that happened. And I was just like, well, that kind of sucked. And
it's because they wanted to leave it open for sequels, you know?
Yeah, see, I didn't know about the sequels, or I didn't know anything about the story. This is why I had to research it. And then after reading the summaries of all three books, which apparently in the third book, they finally get around to fighting the system. And I'm just kind of like, well, so the movie actually did a really good job interpreting the book, and I give it credit for that, but Hunger Games, the story, doesn't sound that good.
So what happens afterwards? Do they just do the same thing again with different people, or what?
Okay, so, like, apparently the plot for the second book, which is going to be the second movie, is they have, like, this quarter century tournament for Hunger Games where they take the last 24 winners and make them play the game again. And then there's a finalist out of that. So apparently in the second book/movie, when they have this tournament, like, there's people that actually start to fight the system. And they mentioned like this other district, like District 13 or something, that like was burned or destroyed because of like a riot that ensued. Because it's all about that government tyranny of keeping people down, and the games are like, you know, it's a little bit of hope to representative to represent their district, but they can't have too much of it or something. Stupid.
In the movie, when the black girl died, Rue, I think, there was a bunch of riots and stuff in her district, I remember.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that was the one that got destroyed or anything.
No, it was like some other district that like years back it got destroyed due to an uprising or something against the government. So,
oh, I see.
That was the way I took it. And apparently, like the district in the books is still alive, and it the girl winds up working with them to take out the system or something like that. So they finally get around to doing it in the third book. But I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so in Battle Royale, they didn't put up with this crap. Like, here's the problems I had with the story. Because, again, I'm not blaming the movie because the movie interpreted the books. And so apparently the way the Hunger Games works is the game can actually continue for quite some time. Like, there's not a set date. Like, in Battle Royale, it's 42 students all going against each other in 3 days. And in 3 days, if there's not a winner, everyone dies. Like, they have their act together, and they can actually, like, you know, they have their system down pat. They know what they're doing. They make sure that, like, you know, if you don't do it the way we want to, everyone pays for it. But
did they, like, in Hunger Games, they kept messing around with the rules and stuff? And, like interfering and setting the trees on fire and stuff, the people who ran it. That kind of stuff doesn't happen in Battle Royale, does it?
No, like in Battle Royale, it's like they're on an island, and like, you know, they can escape, they can try to escape, but there's a bunch of like military boats circling the island, and if they're outside of a zone, their collars explode. And we're in Hunger Games, they pretty much keep them contained in this dome, but they actually find a way to, you know, tweak the elements around them so that, you know, it could cause their death if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cheating, you know? It, like, messes with...
That was kind of stupid there, but, I mean, I guess going back to what I was saying about, like, yeah, like, pretty much the way I understood it was the game could actually last as long as the person's alive. Like, as long as there's two other people alive in the game, then they can have it going on and on, no matter how many times the government tries to take them by putting the elements against them. Because really, in the movie, the way I understood it, it was like maybe a week or so that the game has been going on.
Yeah, something like that. I thought it was kind of, as soon as they made it so that two people could win if they're from the same district, that made it really obvious how it was going to end, you know?
Yeah, and like, because, okay, like I said, like, this came from the books. So, like, in the books, apparently, they changed the rules like that. So, because in the movie, they're like, oh, we have this prize of, you know, if you and your other person from the same district are alive, then, you know, at the end, you guys win everything. And then, like, as soon as they kill that blonde-haired dude off with the spaceship-looking thing or whatever it was called, like, then they're like, oh, no, you have to kill each other. And then they try to fight a way. They find a way to try to fight the system. Like, well, we'll just kill each other so there's no winner. And then, like, as soon as they're about to do it, they're like, oh, no, no, wait. You guys are allowed to do it now. Like, you know, oh, we just instituted the rule. And it's okay now. And I'm just like, that's stupid. But apparently that was in the books.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I kind of wish they had followed it up to see. I mean, like, they just said, oh, they're really mad at you about what you did, and then it just, like, ends, you know? They don't really...
Yeah, it's... I don't really consider it fighting the government. They kind of more, like, trolled it. It was just, like, an inconvenience to them that they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's... Because apparently if they kill each other, then, like, oh, then that gives people hope to rise against us, and, like, it has to... Everything has to be the same way, and I don't know. But some of the bad, like, there was one entertaining part I liked about the movie was when PETA, the guy or whatever, and whatever her name is, like, she's taking care for him because they have medicine out for them at that square. And she goes to get it, and there's that girl with the two sights that are out to try to kill her, and then the black dude shows up and, you know, takes her out because I don't know. But
yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, no, the black dude and the small black girl, which I already knew she was going to die within 10 minutes of the movie, which she took a spear to the gut. But, like, apparently, like, I guess he found out that she was looking out for her somehow, and then he's just like, oh, I have nothing against you, and he just runs off or something. Something stupid. But, so then anyway, she comes back with the medicine, and then he's like, oh, you have something on your face, like a scratch. You're like, are you okay? And she goes, and she plays it off like it's nothing. She's like, yeah, that stupid girl from, like, Section 6 tried to scythe me, but she got taken care of. No big deal. Like, it was like an everyday husband-wife kind of discussion. She thought nothing of it. And I kind of found that really funny.
Yeah. Well, she had, like, gotten her leg cut up earlier and everything. Like, they'd gone through a lot of damage, I guess, already.
Yeah, she got her leg burned when she tried to escape or go outside the boundary, which was when the game warden of the game was, like, you know, trying to contain her back, which that caused everyone else to go out to where she was because of this, half the force is on fire.
Yeah.
And she got that leg burn, and then what's-his-face's character, the dude with the blonde hair that's like their advisor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's able to set her up with, like, some sponsors to give her, like, some healing gel for her leg.
Yeah, and then she knocks down the bees, and everyone starts tripping out from the bee stings.
Yeah, she's able to take the blonde girl's, like, bow and arrow set.
Yeah.
Which, like, I already knew she was going to get it regardless, because that's, like, her preferred weapon and everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, the match itself wasn't, like, I mean, it's not, I mean, again, like I said, it's not a terrible movie. It's you know, again, it takes directly from the books, but I wish this was a movie that did not go by the books. I wish it kind of would try to be Battle Royale, because if it did, I think it would have been a lot better. So granted, all the people who've seen the book, who've read the books, are going to be pissed off because it didn't go the way of the books, but I'm like, well, that's because the books, I think, kind of suck. Anyways, go ahead.
Did they already, like, highlight the next two movies? They're definitely going to make them and everything.
They would have to. Like, this movie was a huge blockbuster, and it's obvious because it apparently broke records for, like, about beating Twilight, which, who cares? But it was, yeah, I know they're going to make a couple of the movies down the road, or the last two.
Did you see John Carter?
I haven't seen John Carter yet.
I thought it was pretty good. A lot of people hate it, but I don't know. I think it's because it's kind of like a lot of other sci-fi movies, where there's all the alien races at war and everything, but I still thought it was entertaining.
I like to see that new movie out now. It's called Lockdown or Lockout or something, which is like space prison, and they have to, like, there's a riot on space prison, and I'm like, that sounds too cool not to pass up. I know that movie's not going to be awesome, but I can't help but to see that.
That sounds like some sort of B movie. You wouldn't think it would get a big release.
Yeah, I hope it's like a really well done B movie. It looks visually cool, but it's like the plot is like something stupid. Like, oh, this guy is trouble with the law, but he has to go to space prison to take down the space prison inmates because there's a riot on space prison. I'm like, as dumb as that sounds, I have to see that movie.
Yeah, that reminds me of that prison in Alien 3 that Ripley goes to with all the people with the shaved heads and everything.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind Alien 3 so much. Like, I saw that a few years ago. Like, yeah, because apparently it's from Aliens, their spaceship pod crashes on that, like, space planet prison that they're at, and then they take them in, and then there's an alien on board that's, you know, a xenomorph is able to fuse with some dude, and they have to take it out.
A lot of people hate that movie because it killed off all the people from Aliens.
Well, Newt and then Michael Biehn's character were dead already, so yeah. It was just her.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, that wasn't too big of a deal for me, because I was just like, that kind of sucks, and that's kind of stupid, but But then it was like towards the end, she like kills herself. And I'm like, all right, cool. That's the end of the series. And then there's Alien Resurrection where she comes back as a clone. And that movie's terrible.
Yeah, that one's really bad. I kind of liked Alien 3, but Alien Resurrection is really stupid.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like Alien Resurrection had like the space bounty hunters or whatever they were that was led by Ron Perlman. Which I thought his character was kind of cool.
I haven't seen Alien vs. Predator, but Viku says it's really, really terrible.
I've seen it. It's okay. It's not that great. Honestly, I think Doom is a better movie than that. And then they made a sequel to Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Yeah. What about
which
that?
I don't know if I will see.
What about that Predators movie? I haven't seen that one. The one that came out a couple of years ago.
That is actually, yeah, that came out last year, and that is, or I think it did come out a couple of years ago, but that movie is actually not that bad.
Yeah.
That is actually a pretty good movie, and it's done by Robert Rodriguez, and I like his movies. I like Machete.
Yeah. So, what did you experience at NashiCon?
Yeah, sure, NashiCon. Because I went to a convention, it's in Colombia like every year, and it was like the last weekend of March. But yeah, it was me and my brother and his friend. We went over there on a Saturday, so we were only there for like a day. Pretty much I got to meet Spike Spencer there, and I did let him know about this podcast. And actually the way it worked was I had him sign my 10-box Evangelion DVD set. My version 1 of the movie, and then I had him also sign a Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040 DVD and a Battle Angel VHS tape, because he was the character in the second OV of that.
Wow.
And I gave it to him, and I'm just like, it's probably been a long time since you signed one of these. He's like, yeah, it has.
was he in Bubblegum Crisis or no?
He was in the Tokyo 2040 TV series as the as Maki.
Oh. Who was Maki in the stuff that we watched, the OVA?
The dub, that I do not know.
I guess
there's go ahead.
It was probably some other company, right? Not ADV.
It was Coastal Carolina, or I think it was South Wayne Studios. South Wayne Studios is the one who did the dubbing for Bubblegum Crisis. Or whatever their names is. Apparently, the guy who voices Dean Venture in Venture Brothers like did dubbing for the Bubblegum Crisis OVA. He's credited as doing like the ADV police officers and like the younger Maki, and I think in the first episode.
Apparently, this guy's named Michael Center Nicholas.
Yeah, I can't. Good luck trying to pronounce his last name.
His friend, but he's
done. He's done like so much stuff in the past 2 decades. Like I was amazed.
It says he plays young Maki and an 80 police officer.
Yeah, but apparently he's done the music for the anime too.
Huh.
Like when they did like their English revisions or renditions of like the Japanese songs. Like apparently he was credited for doing guitar.
He's in Gundam Unicorn too. He's Angelo.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. And Besson, whoever that is.
I can't even... I know who Angelo is, because I remember, like, I hated that character when we reviewed it last year, but I don't know who that other guy is.
There's a new one coming soon, isn't there?
Yeah, we're actually supposed to be reviewing that a couple months from now when we do our Gundam Month.
Yeah.
So by the time we do Gundam Month, Episode 5 would be out, and we would have already seen it.
Yeah. He's a... Mr. Nine and the Four Kids One Piece dub too. Apparently he does like a bunch of Four Kids stuff. Anyway, we were talking about NashiCon.
Yeah, but I also got to meet Caitlin Glass. She was there and she signed my Evangelion DVD, the movie, because apparently she was character as the class Maki Ibuki. I think it was the class rep girl.
Hmm.
Or whatever her name was, but she was credited in that, so I had her sign that. But it was funny because what I did was like I was so unprofessional about this when I told Spike about our podcast. I pretty much like wrote on a sheet of paper that I tore off of like the bulletin there, and I wrote down her name in like my crappy handwriting, and I gave it to him, and he just looked at it and goes, "I'll tell you what, you can hold on to this, and I'll give you my email address."
He couldn't read it or something?
Do what?
He couldn't read it or something, or what was the problem?
I could read it, but probably not him. But I think it was just he probably if I gave it to him and it wasn't on a card, then it's unprofessional. And this guy's been doing acting for almost 2 decades. So I don't know if I offended him, but he was nice enough to write down his email address for me because he told me like 4 different ones and like for his on his website. And I looked at him, I was just like, dude, I didn't get any of that, what you just said. I'm so sorry. Do you mind writing that down? I had to apologize.
We had the voice of Goku in the TZ chat one time. I can't remember his name right now, though. John Schimmel, I think.
How long ago was this?
I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. He called Shark a shock jock, I remember.
I probably wasn't there. I don't remember 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. I think Kyle Hebert was in there one time too, but he didn't say anything.
This is probably like, these guys are really, really stupid.
Yeah, probably.
Really nerdy. They're like, what's this bickering? Who is this Curry Wagner and Kuwabara the man?
They probably were there. It was like
that. They probably freaked him out. He's like, I would talk to these people, but I don't know. But no, I got to meet Spike. And actually, like, when my brother, when we got there, we parked at this like hotel parking that was across the street from the convention in Columbia. And apparently there was parking around the convention center that I didn't feel like driving the extra half a mile to get to. I was like, screw this, we're at Hampton. But we didn't get towed because apparently it was for like a sign that said, you know, this is for hotel parking. I'm like, ah, screw it, we're going to be fine. And our car was there the entire time, so nothing happened. But it was weird. They actually have a good registration system. Like, there might have been like 1,000 people that were there, I would say. So it wasn't that big of a con, but that's not too bad. And the way they had it worked out was like, there's all these different sections of like, it feels like I was like in a endurance test just to get to my, just to get to the register. Cause what happened is like we walked up to the register or we asked somebody about it. So then we had to go and they gave us sheets of paper because we were there for a day. So we had to fill those out. And then by the time we filled those out, we had to go in line. I don't know where all that stapling noise is coming from.
I think that was Cloud typing.
Oh, it sounded like there was a nail gun in his room or something.
It was just my touchpad, sorry.
Oh. But no, anyways, it was, like, I kept making fun of it, too. So, like, by the time we filled out a registration form, and, like, we had to go back in line again, and then they had to get us into, like, these different sections. And I'm like, okay, this must be the writing endurance of the registration. And like, oh, this must be our physical test of the registration. And it took like 2 or 3 different steps to get up to where they were. But it was kind of interesting because it took us in parts. So like, you know, there would be 3 or 4 people at the registration table. So like the people were always overflooded. So they had people holding us back and they would take us at sections of a time, which was actually pretty smart. And we actually got to the convention like 2 hours late because I thought we were like when we were leaving our house, I thought we were ready to go with my brother and his friend. They're like, no, we got to do this and this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then I had a friend of mine from school text me. He's like, dude, I'm here in line. I'm like, well, we haven't left yet. I'll see you in 1.5 hours. But we finally got there like noon. But, yeah, it was – but I liked the registration system. It was a pretty good system for what they had. And they took our information down and we got our badges. And it was funny, like, my brother's friend was just like, oh, because he's like 16, and he's like, oh, who do I put down as a guardian? I just took his paper from him and just wrote down my name in big letters, like, here you go, I'm your freaking guardian. Like, dude, let's get in line. I don't have time for this.
What, he didn't, like, have parents or something?
No, it was just us three, and, like, I'm 26, and my brother's, like, 19, and he's 16.
Yeah.
And he was just like one of it. He was just like, I don't know what to put down as like, which one do you want to be my guardian? I just remember taking the piece of paper from it, just writing my name down. I was like, there, I'm your guardian. Let's just get this over and done with and get in the convention hall.
Yeah. They don't let minors in alone or something. Is that?
I think it was just like in case of emergency or something, because I just put down my name. I put something down. I don't remember.
When I went to the Phoenix Comic Con a few months ago, I just had to pay them some money, and then they gave me like a little wristband to get in. But
they had asked information like our names and age and I don't know.
At San Diego Comic Con, they have like you have to pre-order your badge, and they have like this big complicated online ordering system and everything. It sells out in an hour. It's just ridiculous.
So what, is there like an aptitude test you have to take for the con registration or something?
You have to sign up like months in advance as a member, and then they send you some link, and somehow Viku managed to do it. He managed to get 2 days for this year.
Oh, nice.
I assume Mason will be paying for it. Right, Mason?
Well, I guess if Viku was still part of the podcast, Mason could pay for it, but yeah. Viku has long since been not here in a long time.
Yeah, it's been months.
So, I don't know, it's been like 8 or 9 months, I think.
Yeah.
But, we got past registration, and then we pretty much walked around. They had a game room, and it was basically like some Dreamcast set up, and like they had tournaments going on, but they were fighting games that I am not very good at. I'm decent at fighting games, but like if I went against these guys who play like all the time, I'm like, I'm not going to get anywhere with this. So, trying to think, there was quite a few stuff that actually kept us interested at the convention. They did have a dealer's room, and it wasn't that great. It was kind of small, but it wasn't too bad. I actually got some cool stuff from them. I got like a Mazinger Z and a Pen like cell phone keychains. So I got Mazinger Z on my cell phone now, and I have Pen like on my shelf. And apparently I picked up a Ritsuko Akagi like figurine for like $15, and she's like one of those stand figurines, so she's up there with the rest of my stuff. I think I picked up a couple other things too, and I can't remember what they were. Again, like when it comes to DVDs and stuff, there wasn't a lot there that I found or I wanted. I did, however, pick up a set of Kubrick figures for like $1. It was like six of them, like in a box, and it came from these people who ran a. They were supposed to run an art table, but they ran out of room, so they put them in the dealer's room, and so it was just them selling like stupid, like random crap. But there was actually cool stuff. Like I got the Kubrick figures from them, and then I got like a set of like these Japanese card game. I don't know what I did with them, but it's like Gundam War, but it's like a different kind or something.
This is some Gundam card game.
I've been kind of collecting or into collecting Gundam War, which is like Magic the Gathering for Gundams, and this other game is just kind of like that. The way I understand it, it's from the same company.
Is it? Like one specific Gundam series, or is it all of them?
Like I know with Gundam War, it's all of them. Like you can swap out your characters and mobile suits, and there's like operation set, and there's websites set up like people translating the cards so you can play them. This one was like more like super robots and like some Gundams in it. So I need to research it more to figure out like how to play it, which I'm sure it plays the exact same as like Gundam War and obviously Magic the Gathering.
Is there any like English on it? Do you know what it's called?
No, it's all in Japanese.
Oh, how are you going to figure out what it's called then?
That's why there's translation sites. Oh. So people like me can research and then do unnecessary research on a card game that I may or may not play one day that I like collecting.
You can like type out the kanji and stuff?
Well, if you look up, I mean, there's actual like websites where people have translated the card. So they'll have like a picture of the card on it, and they'll have like the translation written out, like, you know, it does this damage or it can do this stat.
Wow. So people in America actually like play with these Japanese cards?
I guess so. I mean, there's sites set up for it.
Wow.
And they have like different forums for them and everything, and there's people that are taking them in every once in a while. It's been a while since I've actually looked any information up on Gundam War. I think that was about it, because again, there wasn't really much there. But there was one guy that was selling a bunch of grab bags, Because grab bags are pretty much random crap that you stick in a bag and like, oh, it's like $40 or $50 worth of stuff, and for $15, you never want to know what you're going to get. But the grab bags we got was kind of not that great. It had like, it had Japanese pop magazines from like 2006. There was also like these women's size t-shirts in there, which my brother got one of them and put it on, and it was like, it was way too small for him, but he didn't care. So like, I would take pictures of him with people, and he's got it over like this other shirt he was wearing, and it just like, it looked like it was a freaking girdle on his body.
That sounds pretty disturbing.
Yeah, but he didn't care. Like, I would be more disturbing if I wore that, because I'm much fatter than he is.
Yeah,
or much more huskier built. But he walked that around the convention with that. Just to look stupid, and people like actually wanted to take pictures with them. And like for me, I wore my vintage Bubblegum Crisis t-shirt, and I actually got some comments from girls about it, and they're like, "Oh, dude, I love that OVA." And then I told them about the podcast, like, "Well, my podcast just did a review of this whole of the whole OVA series, and here's my website." So, and I don't know where that's gonna go. I talked to one girl that ran some sort of like art table that's called Rainbow Darkness Studios. And she was actually pretty cool to talk to. I gave her my website, so I don't know if she's looked it up or not. But if she's listening to this, yes, I mentioned you. But I highly doubt it.
You told her about the podcast?
Yeah, I wrote it down and everything, and she was really cool. Like, oh. I actually got the, like, I like talk, like, I actually ran into a few people at this convention that I normally meet at Animazement. And I don't think I'm going to go to Animazement this year. Just due to money and everything, but I don't know. But I ran into one guy that goes to Animazement every year, who dresses up as Terry Bogard. And the reason not only does he dress up as Terry Bogard, but he has an SNK tattoo on his arm. Like, it's got the black outline where it's all filled in blue, and it says SNK. And I talked to him, and I took a picture of him, and he like flexed his like, you know, muscle or whatever. But he was a pretty cool guy. And then I met this one other girl that ran an art table out there, but she also ran one at Animazement. And she, like, I remember seeing her last year. She was actually, what made her so unique was the fact that she had this like green Star Trek uniform on, like this like mini skirt, and it looked so hot on her. But she's also pretty unique because of the fact she's got like one arm that's an amputee. So she's got, which I thought was like really, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, it was, and she's actually really attractive, and I got to talk to her. When I went to talk to her, I didn't say, hey, I noticed you last year in Animation because you're missing an arm or a hand. I'm like, I wasn't going to say that.
Her whole arm is missing? It's just like a stub?
She's got like, it's her left arm that's like, she doesn't have a hand, but it's got like, halfway down is like a stub. But I'm telling you, she's, at least for me, I think she's pretty hot. And like this year, she had her hair short, but I was pretty cool about it, but I went up to her and said, yeah, I think I remember you from last year. You wore that Star Trek uniform, and which she did. And I, of course, I'm not going to mention anything about her arm or anything like that, because you don't do that, and that's not cool. But she was cool to talk to, and I got her website thing, and she goes by the name of the Cyborg Seamstress.
Okay. Is she going to be listening to this?
I don't know. I'm promoting these people's websites, and I don't know if people are going to go to them. I just have this information in front of me, in case anybody cares. Probably not. But, alright, I guess I can try to finish this up. I do want to point out something that was pretty funny. I ran into one guy that I go to school with, and I told him about the convention. And I saw him because, like, when I got there, we were texting back and forth regarding, like, where we were at. And he was at some panel or something. And I met him at the dealer's room. And, like, I was just kidding around. Like, I had this piece of paper or, like, this brown sack that we had the grab bag in. And I just kind of threw it at him just as a joke. And, throat's kind of dry. So, anyways, like, I threw it as a joke, and he saw me. And then he got, like, extremely pissed off at me because he was trying to hit on a girl. And I completely screwed that up for him.
Huh. Did she leave or something?
Well, okay. So, apparently, like, I don't know if I was going to mention this or not, but he found a way to contact her. And it's really funny how this happened, but, like, he apparently was working on his way to talk to her because he said he was there and he was like, well, I'm scoping out chicks and I think I found her. And he was talking, apparently he was trying to start a conversation. He apparently didn't get two sentences in the conversation before I came by and ruined it for him. And he got, like, really upset at me for that. And I was just like, well, dude, I'm really sorry, but we can try to get her again. He's just like, okay. And, like, throughout the whole convention, he would see her, and I'm like, dude, there she is. And he's just like, oh, I know. And I'm like, why don't you just go talk to her? She's right there. And he's just like, oh, I don't want to come off as a creep or anything like that. I'm like, dude. And then supposedly, like, right, like, before I was, me and my brother and our friend were going to go out to eat, like, at the we were going out to eat at the Mellow Mushroom, which that's another sort of adventure, too. But he was going to try to, like, hook up with her or something before when we took off. And so by the time we got back, like, he starts sending me text messages of, like, oh, dude, if you see her, get her number for me. Just say that I was interested. I'm like, okay, sure. And I never saw her again, so I was just like, oh, well, I don't have to do anything about it.
This is some girl he said, like, two sentences to.
Yes. Like, it was funny because he was at the dealer's booth that I got that Ritsuko figure from. And I thought he was hitting on the dealers at the girl behind the dealer's booth. And I was just like, well, dude, what are you talking about? She didn't go anywhere. She's right there. He's like, no, dude, not her. Her in the blonde wig. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I was just like, okay, I mean, she's kind of cute. I'm sorry I ruined your chance. Kind of, maybe. I don't know. But I was just like, whatever. So, like, I told him, I was just like, I didn't see her afterwards, so I couldn't talk to her. And apparently he was able to find her on, like, the Facebook page of NashiCon. I don't know if he said anything to her yet. But I don't know. I'm not going to worry about this. It's whatever. And then apparently when my brother and I and our friend were trying to find Mellow Mushroom because we heard this from the booth I was telling you about that I got those cards from. And this lady was telling me, like, oh, yeah, there's a Mellow Mushroom, like, down the block or something. So we're like, okay, cool. And we walk, like, two blocks down, like, the same way we drove in. And I'm thinking, all right, there's a bunch of restaurants. There's got to be one of those. And we wind up going circling around this whole block. And I'm like, there is no Mellow Mushroom here. And, like, parts of that block were, like, getting into the ghetto. And I'm like, we need to get out of here as soon as possible. And then I wound up going to this Italian restaurant. I talked to this guy behind this bar, and he's like, yeah, dude, it's like two blocks that way. And we walked up there, and it was like there. I was like, well, had I known if we got out this road, I could have taken a right, and we would have went there. And it would have saved us like 20 minutes of walking around this block, but this whatever.
This con was in a ghetto?
It was like, we were walking around this block, and it was like a bunch of these restaurants crammed together. And then, like, we got past that, and it was, like, an abandoned, like, lot area, and I'm like, all right, well, it's got to be around here somewhere. And we walked down this other lane, and it was, like, a back alley and, like, this abandoned, like, condemned house. And I'm like, there is no Mellow Mushroom on this block, is there? And then we circled around, and then we went to this, like, small Italian eatery place. And then I asked the guy in there. It was all in the same, like, it was all in the same block. But we found it. Like, all we had to do was walk up, like, two blocks north of where the convention was, and it was there. But also, I found out something pretty interesting, too. I went back to that booth because, like, the lady who told us about Mellow Mushroom, like, she had her husband, and he's on staff at Animazement. So, like, I actually got to talk to him about, like, you know, regarding, like, how I've been going to the convention and, you know, how it sucks that Ishiguro passed away recently. And we just kind of had a conversation about it. And he brought up an interesting story to me about why Vic Magnolia, or however you pronounce his last name, the guy who voices Edward in Fullmetal Alchemist.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it. Magnola or something? I don't know.
Yeah. I just find it easier to call him Magnolia, but, like, apparently he was telling me an interesting story about, like, Vic is actually banned from Animazement and has been for, like, 5 years now, because supposedly what happened was the last time he was there, and I think the only time he was there, was he had, around the time of that convention, he had like a group of people, groupies, supposedly, that would follow him from convention to convention, and they were named after some group in Full Metal Alchemist. And these were like 14 to 16 year old girls that went to each of these conventions just to be as like fangirls for whatever reason, which kind of begs the question, like, what parent would let their kid go around to conventions, I guess, all across the country to wherever this guy goes just to see him?
Wait, so these are like the people who follow bands around? They actually just follow this voice actor around the country?
Yeah, it was an actual group. It was an actual group of like middle school and high school girls that did this. So I guess during that convention season.
That sounds like he shouldn't be allowing it, you know?
Well, that's not the best part. Supposedly, the way I've understood Vic was that when he goes to conventions, he likes to drink and party. And the way he understood, the way that he told me was that apparently Vic, in a drunken state, thought it was a good idea to bring these girls up to his hotel room. Hold up. Cloud, you're typing way too loud.
Sorry. All
right. But anyways, like, he thought it was a good idea in his state to bring these girls up to his hotel room. And I guess just to hang out with him or whatever. Apparently the convention staff heard about this and they took his ass out of there. Like, they said, no, you're not here anymore. Pack your stuff up and leave. And he had a panel at like the next that Sunday morning. So while the panel was happening at that time that they canceled, he was on a plane back home.
So did they actually go to his hotel room?
Yeah, like the staff found out about like what he was doing, and they went straight up there. And I think the guy who ran the whole convention was up there with him, up there too, to tell him like you're out of here.
Did he do something with them, or
I don't? They don't believe that he actually did anything to them. I think if he was with them long enough that they didn't know about it, probably something could have happened. Maybe, but I guess. But it was just the fact that he actually did that and thought it was a good idea with underage girls, and he's like in his 30s or something. Yeah, but supposedly this isn't the, like, there's, I mean, I've heard stories about Vic regarding him being like a jerk or something like that. And there was one thing where, like, apparently at an amazement, like, you know, these con staff people were supposed to keep eye on their guest, and apparently he would disappear. And at one point he went to the dealer's room out there having a bunch of his CDs, selling it to people just because he could.
He does music or something?
I guess he has, like Spike Spencer had his own CDs of, like, I guess it's, like, I don't know, him talking. I don't know what's on those, but I guess voice actors either sing or talk about stuff or do recordings of things, and then they go to conventions and sell them off because, like, oh, I have a fan base, so I can just, you know, somebody will buy these.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, like, this was stuff that he would do, that he did at Animazement, and, like, again, I don't know. There's no telling if he's got, like, another posse of people that he, you know, that follows him around that he invites up to his hotel room. So that was just something I heard about him. But, I mean, it's maybe he learned his lesson. I don't know. This was a few years ago. So that was really interesting to hear about that. But, I mean, I've heard he's a cool guy, depending. I don't know. Like, I know with, I think it was one Pixel Jump, I remember him telling me that, like, he worked at MTAC last year, and I think this past convention too, which ended last weekend. And he picked up Vic from the airport, and he said he was, like, pretty cool to him. So I guess it all depends.
So Vic actually told you this story about the hotel room?
Well, this guy did. That was on staff from Animazement.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Vic wasn't at the convention.
Oh, okay.
Wait, so you thought Vic would tell his own story about how he got kicked out of a convention to me?
Well, I thought he was, like, bragging about getting them up into his room or something, you know?
I don't know. Like, this is what the guy told me about, but, I mean, I let the guy know about our podcast, too, so. But, yeah, I think that's it. Oh, there was one other thing I was going to talk about. There was a manga trade, and I went there to get rid of some of my stuff that I haven't been able to sell. Like, I had a sealed. Apparently, like, at a manga trade, you're not allowed to sell stuff there. It's you're only able to trade with other people. And for me, I just kind of wanted to get rid of some of these books I've had for a couple years, which I did. But there was one guy we saw at the trade, and like, he was, oh man, he was a character. Like, he saw my stuff and just started picking out of the box, and I'm just like, you know, hey, you know, whatever, I'm cool with it. And he's like, well, is there anything you want from me? And I'm kind of like, well, and I picked up like 3 volumes of like the original Viz manga of Ranma One Half. I was like, well, I'll take this Ranma One Halves off of you. And then he was saying like those, like I gave him like a bunch of stuff, and he's just like, well, no, you have to have something of some better value of that. And I'm like, okay, I thought this was an even trade, but whatever. And he would, I had like 2 or 3 more books in my box, and he kept cycling through the same books. Like there's like, he kept looking at like, there's going to be like another 3 more books that are just going to reappear out of nowhere. And he's just like, he's like just thinking about it. And I'm just like, dude, do you want my stuff or not? I just want to get rid of it. And I guess I could trade or whatever, but I don't know. He was kind of a weird character. But I don't even know. Like, I remember putting the manga in my backpack, and I did it in front of him. And I don't even know if he knew that I took it or not. But I'm like, whatever.
Wait, so you just took the Ranma One Half stuff, or?
Well, he took a bulk of my manga, which again, I wanted to go there to get rid of it, because I've had a hard time trying to sell it. And that was stuff like some Gantz manga that was sealed, Detroit Metal City. Like a Toko issue, an Evangelion manga, like an Angelic Days one. But there was just some other stuff I had to. But then I wind up getting the original Viz translation of the Fist of North Star comics from this one girl that had a bunch of stuff there. And that actually, that trade came from my one of my brother's friends. Or my brother's friend that was with us, because he was wanting to get rid of his stuff, and I held on to it. I was like, "Do you need to check this out? This Fist of the North Star is awesome."
Is it flipped or is it right to left?
Do what?
Is it flipped like that old Viz stuff, or is it right to left?
Actually, I haven't really. I think it is. No, it's. I think it's original. I'm looking at it from my shelf. And it looks like it's just left to right.
We have 46 minutes, by the way, so we can probably fill out this episode before Daft does his thing tomorrow.
Yeah, so that was pretty much it about NashiCon. I guess if Daft can keep it under 15 minutes, who cares? He can talk as long as Anime Boston as he wants to when he attacks us on there. But I think I've pretty much covered everything. I did want to mention that, like, I want to have a discussion about, like, stuff we've seen. Like, I was going to mention, like, whatever anime or movies we've seen so far. Just kind of as, like, a brief discussion about it. Like, I finished up Votom's, the second arc, the Kumin Wars, today. And since it's spring break, I have Fist of the North Star I need to finish. Or at least my second DVD collection. I got Big Wars in the movie called Big Wars in the mail, and I watched that. That was okay. I've been watching SBT Lesnar, and then I finally got into watching Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which it's actually pretty good. I thought it was like really, it's like military space soap opera drama, and I thought I wasn't going to like it at first, but I was just like, huh, this show actually isn't that bad.
So, and go ahead. That's is it like Matsumoto stuff, or is it what kind of sci-fi stuff is it? I know a lot of people like it.
Galactic Heroes came from Ishiguro, actually. It's an OVA series. It's actually the longest OVA series out there. It started in like 88 and ended in like 97. And there's like 110 episodes of it, but it's considered as an OVA series because it comes out in brief sections, like for stories, like they'll release a certain, you know, number of episodes, and then they'll come back to it a few months later, like OVAs are.
Yeah.
Which is why there's that huge, like, 9-year gap between those episodes. And then for video games, I finally get to beat Deus Ex, which I can't tell you what the story was because it took me about a month to actually get through it. Like, just playing it on the weekends or whatever, like, during March, and I don't know, I just kind of just stopped caring about the story. It's probably a good story, but I'm just like, it's okay, you know, people trying to want to, you know, if they want to be cyborgs, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. You know, no one controls them. I guess that was a story. I've been getting back into SD Gundam Capsule Fighter again for some unknown reason, and I finally got to level up, which the leveling system on that is, like, ridiculously long. It takes so much effort to do that.
Wait, there's an SD Gundam game? Like the Superior Defender stuff?
Yeah, it's the online game I was telling you about, like, a few months ago that came out. Like, it came out in December, yeah. I also
actually November.
November?
Japan. Right. Well, see, November, I thought, in Japan, and then a month later in the U.S.
See, I thought it was already out in Japan for like a year or two before it got over to the States.
Beta-wise.
Okay. Yeah, so I've been kind of getting back into that after taking a little bit of an absence. I actually got to try out Infinity Blade for my iTouch, and that's actually a pretty fun game. And it was with that, like, apparently you can keep playing it and keep gathering more equipment, and, like, you have to fight this boss at the end, which you have to try to kill him to avenge your father's death or something. And whenever you don't kill him or whenever he kills you, he just, like, pretty much, like, oh, I'll get you in the next afterlife for the next generation. And then it has, like, a subcaption where it's, like, you know, 19 or 20 years later, you have a new character that has to go through the whole dungeon again to try to kill him. And it was
so,
like,
what are we saying? Are we saying that he's like from Gallifrey or something?
I don't know. He's like this next to immortal being that you have to fight. And every time you have to go back to playing him, the characters or the people you battle get stronger in levels and in health and everything. But of course you upgrade to your, you know, magic or armor and everything. And it wasn't until, like, my sixth try that I finally got to beat this guy. And because, like, it was... Because I was getting good at parrying in the game. Because you can parry, you can block by just, like, flicking your fingers. And there was a point where, like, I just said, screw this. And I just started parrying all the time. And I was like, I got him. And I just started, like, whacking the crap out of my iTouch. And I finally beat him. I'm like, yes! And I'm like, this is a pretty fun game. But now I feel accomplished, and I haven't touched it since. But, Oh, I wanted to promote something real quick. My friend's game came out for the Apple Market, which is called Saturday Morning RPG. And he's been working on this for about a year and a half now, and it's finally come out. It's pretty much like you take a Saturday morning cartoon and put that to like a Super Nintendo RPG game for the Apple Market. And it's free to play. It's the first episode is free, and I think every other episode is going to be like maybe a dollar or two to play it. And there's going to be like 5 or 6 episodes of this that'll be, you know, be put out every few months or every couple months. So they're actually working on episode 3 now, and then episode 2 should be coming out shortly. And I went ahead and pre-ordered it off a Kickstarter, so I actually have like a poster coming my way. So definitely go check that out, and I'll post something up on my blog or whatever about it. For movies I've seen, I saw The Wraith with Charlie Sheen back in the 80s. Pretty cool movie. He's in like this space car and goes around and gets revenge against other people in that drag race against him or something. It's a cool 80s movie.
It's not great-great-great-grandson.
Do what?
It's Knight Rider's great-great-grandson. It's what would happen if Knight Rider and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang got together.
Well, The Wraith came out the same time as Knight Rider. Because they both came out about that same time. Because The Wraith came out in 86. Which I'm not sure if The Wraith came out before or after Platoon. Because Charlie Sheen was in that also.
See, The Wraith is actually a TARDIS in disguise.
A what in disguise?
TARDIS.
A TARDIS?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what a TARDIS is.
It's from Doctor Who.
I wouldn't get that because, again, I don't really keep up with Doctor Who. But, yeah, that's a good movie. There was another movie I saw also, which came out in the 80s, and that's the Lou Ferrigno Hercules movie. I don't know if any of you ever heard or seen that movie before, but it's actually pretty
awful. Ridiculous.
I do have to give the movie credit. The highlight of that movie was when the bear killed his foster dad and he threw the bear into space and the bear was doing backflips into space and made the bear constellation. because I guess that's how things were done back then. I found that pretty entertaining.
And of course, yeah, and of course, physics was completely backwards then. I mean, the bear never imploded. It just kept on going over and flipping over, you know? It never imploded at all, froze to death or anything.
Maybe that's how space was like back in the day. I don't know.
I guess, you know?
I guess maybe he...
God forbid normal physics should go ahead and actually, you know, deemed plausible in the realms of reality.
Well, I mean, Hercules is a demigod, so if he wanted to throw an animal into space and make a constellation out of those, what's going to stop him from doing that?
I don't know. Let's call up Kevin Sorbo and ask him.
That is a TV series I have not seen. I never even watched Xena Warrior.
Dude, you know what? You are having a deprived young adulthood.
I just never found the Kevin Sorbo Hercules show good.
Was awesome. A lot better than Xena.
Probably. I don't know. Xena was kind of there
Xena was all mostly all about the really bad story plotline in the TNA.
Well, I mean, I figured it was TNA because, like, oh, Hercules is just too manly. We have to have a woman somewhere to get our demographic to watch that. I mean, this was the same time as Baywatch came out. And, like, does Baywatch have a plot or a story? No.
No, it had Pamela Anderson and David
Hasselhoff. It's an hour-long show. It's an hour-long show of TNA. There was never
and large spectral muscles.
All right.
Love.
Other movies I've seen was I saw both True Grit movies on Netflix, and those are actually pretty good. I like them. Okay, I actually
honestly, nobody can outdo the Duke.
I have to say, I think I like the newer movie a little bit better than the original one.
Hear me out.
Like, the original one is, well, it ended on a happy note because, like, oh, her arm got healed because there was a horse that, you know, they luckily got to that little outpost to get her arm taken care of. And apparently there was, like, she had a broken arm, but it was still together. And, like, he had to be the big old, you know, American macho man, which that's how John Wayne is. But in the new one, it was, you know, you take a broken down drunk, a real broken down drunk, I guess, like Jeff Bridges, to try to help this girl out at a farm or whatever. And she wound up losing her arm. And then, like, she's in her, you know, middle age ages or, you know, age to try to go see the sheriff again. And, you know, she's kind of had, like, oh, I don't really marry. And I'm like a secluded woman and everything. And it was kind of sad, but I kind of, that seems more, a lot more realistic than the original one. And of course, the only difference.
Of course. I mean, take a look at today's society.
Well, and also, like, with the new movie, like the other guy, the Texas Ranger that joined him, like in the original one, he was with him the whole time, which as Matt Damian in the new movie was with him back and forth.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of interesting too, or it made for better character development. I think.
Maybe.
That's just me. But and then also I saw a movie called Time Rider on Netflix, and that movie was kind of stupid.
Oh, that dude, that was a B movie. Maybe a C movie. All right, I'll give it a B minus. How about that? We'll give it a B minus.
I saw it and I was just like, it's okay. And then apparently I've been going through these really bad 80s/90s movies I found at a pawn shop here recently on VHS. And
you want to find a bad one?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What movie do you have in mind, Steve?
Megaforce.
Megaforce?
One of the most retarded movies out there about motorcycles. I mean, truly retarded.
If it's on Netflix, I'll have to check it out. But I found, so apparently, like, going through these VHS tapes I found recently, this is a movie called American Tigers, or, yeah, I think that's it. I don't care.
Jeez, you didn't see that, did you?
Yeah, I did, and I actually wanted to fast like 80% of the movie, because I just got, it got really boring really fast. I was just
did
like,
you call
well,
Netflix up and go, hey, I want a refund?
Well, no, I found this at a pawn shop for $1, and I was just like, this movie looks really stupid in this white clamshell case. I'll buy it for $1.
And I hope you went and got your money back and you punched the guy. I hope you punched the guy that sold it to you in the face. I would have.
Nah. I think
like,
I'm going to hold on to it.
How dare you steal that hour and like 15 minutes away from me?
Well, it was more like 45 minutes when you considered how fast my fast forward button, my fast forwarding on my VHS player goes. But I've got three other movies to watch, like something called Eliminators, Jaguar Lives, and American Ninja 3.
Well, American Ninja 3 was okay as far as martial arts acting was concerned,
well,
and such.
It's got Fred Williamson in it, and I own Black Cobra on DVD, and that movie's bad, but it was really entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you go for story of plot, it's shit. If you go for laughs and giggles and, oh, hey, check out that martial arts move. Yeah, it's a thumbs up. But yeah, for anything serious, forget about it.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what movies and games and stuff you've been keeping up with?
Well, recently, as of last Friday, Excel World came on out, episode 1 out on Hulu. And this was something that actually came out both simultaneously. What's happening is they're showing Excel World simultaneously to the US and in Japan. And it's quite the story. The very first episode grabbed my attention. It was an attention grabber. Four kids against brain, what they call brain busters or bursters, and a lot of them, escape to virtual reality type of genre. Nerd gets picked on, stuff like that. Really cool, popular chick. Upperclassman decides that she would go ahead and maybe use this kid to her own advantage. And I can see a lot of plot twists, very potential plot twists just in the very first episode. I'm looking forward to this. Actually, I can't wait until Friday. It shows every Friday, and it's going to be on Hulu. And it doesn't matter if it's on Hulu Plus or Hulu. The only difference is that on Hulu, well, you'll get an advertisement you might get like four advertisements in two-minute blocks. On Hulu Plus, forget about it. You don't have to worry about commercials. But honestly, this gets an 8.5 out of 10 stars on it as far as the latest TV anime series being released. Far as games are concerned, well, we all know that Mass Effect 3 has gotten a lot of mixed reviews. Of course, they're now going ahead and fixing it as far as, doing a different ending is concerned. But also, they've also gone ahead and created a side story anime movie. I think it was IG that's helping out with this. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, it is very possible. But I think IG has gotten their fingers in on this. And it's called Paragon Lost. And it's about James Vega. Is it Vega or Vegas? Or Vargas?
I don't know. I haven't played Mass Effect 2 or 3 yet.
is Vargas, and it's one of those side stories from Mass Effect. But you see a lot of the major races involved in this, as well as, you know, from the game as well. So I think that this is going to show a lot of promise, and I think that the Mass Effect franchise has got a real winner on the plate. We, you know, we just have to wait for it to actually officially come on out, so that we can actually go ahead and take a real good look at it and be able to establish, you know, hey, is it a negative one, you know, a negative 1 out of 10, or is it going to be a 11 out of 10? But just by looking at the artwork and such, and listening to some of the music, being able to review some of the music, I actually think this is going to be a very cool movie.
So, Josh and John, you got anything to add to that, or stuff you've seen?
Nah, I haven't played the Mass Effect games.
And
we're pretty much out of time anyway. It's in 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel pretty good about ranting on Hunger Games for a bit. That was worth my time.
Yeah.
Definitely go see Battle Royale. So I guess up next is going to be Daft's review of Anime Boston, then.
Now, I hate to ask this because I know Mason's going to bitch about it when this episode airs, but how are we doing this now with, like, every other week?
I don't know.
So I don't know if I have to re-explain it to Mason again, but I was wanting to go bi-weekly or every second or fourth week of the months, at least now until June or whenever we do our Gundam month. So we're just kind of going bi-weekly for April and May right now. And I've told him about this, so he can't really complain because he said he was okay with it.
So
it should be more of a benefit to him than anything else, because it will actually give him a little bit of free time as well.
Oh, it gives us more free time since school's wrapping up and we got finals and everything.
Okay, wait.
Very
what
true.
Week?
Well, yeah, you guys do definitely have that. That's very true.
What week are we going to buy weekly?
I think I told them second and fourth weeks of each month.
Yeah, but so when's it start?
We're starting this month. So, like, the one episode, our last episode, episode 50, is airing tomorrow night. And then this one's going to end at the end of this month.
Oh. Okay. So the 26th is when this is going to air?
Is the 26th? I don't know. I haven't really checked the calendar.
2 weeks.
And then Daft's episode is going to air like middle of May, I think.
Yeah, I guess
Well, I guess, I don't know. I thought Daft's episode could just be tacked onto this one.
No, split it up. This is too long already.
Okay. And then eventually,
What happened to the world's most glorious of podcasts? Anyway,
what?
Where was Daft?
Oh, I don't know. He said he's got some Microsoft Access project that he's working on.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually, we'll get around to recording our Rubber Woodhead interview, which that might play. We might do an extra week in May to get that in there. Who knows? And
well,
then I wouldn't mind.
We are trying to shoot for the end of the month.
Yeah.
For recording purpose.
Right. And then I guess I wanted it, me and I mentioned to John that I wouldn't mind reviewing Archer.
Oh yeah.
That would be kind of cool to review.
So have you seen season 3 yet? Most of it?
I have to go through and watch it probably in the next few weeks. And then I'll go back on Netflix and watch the first 2 seasons again. Like, I've seen season 1, but I wouldn't mind going back to getting a refresher on it.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I haven't seen that in a few years either.
Yeah, I need to finish up season 3.
All right, well, I guess we should do closing remarks now. Josh? Right. I guess he doesn't have any.
Wait, I didn't hear you.
Sorry.
Stay frosty.
Okay. Zionic?
Don't close your heart.
Steve?
Remember, people, if women don't find you if you're handsome, at least they find you handy.
Okay. And I guess we'll end it with that.
Pocari Sweat presents Real Otaku Heroes.
Real Otaku Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Shoujo Anime and Manga Fan.
Mr. Shoujo Anime and Manga Fan.
Perhaps fandom's greatest mystery. What makes a seemingly normal man say, I want to watch anime made for girls?
I don't know.
Action? Drama? Comedy? Only if it's starring a young girl in a cute little outfit.
She looks so cute now.
For some reason, a girl with magical powers, a pretty costume, and a cute mascot fighting the forces of evil is what you consider entertainment.
It's good, clean fun.
So crack open an ice-cold Pocari Sweat, Mr. Shoujo Anime and Manga Fan, because it takes a real man to watch a girl's show.
Mr. Shoujo Anime and Manga Fan.
Pocari Sweat, Otsuka Pharmaceutical, Tokyo, Japan.